Oh, Jesus.
Are we opening the meeting?
Good, everybody?
Miss him?
Yep. All right, City Council will convene at 7:06 PM. First, we have the roll call.
Mr. Sinapi?
Here.
Mr. DeLuise?
Here.
Mr. Foley?
Here.
Mr. Gephardt?
Here.
Mr. Kirby?
Here.
Mr. Lazo?
Here.
Mr. Muno?
Here.
Mr. Napa?
Here.
Mr. Ricks?
Here.
All right, next we have the salute to the flag. How we have Councilman Foley lead us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bomb bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Next up, we have general communications, announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events. Does anyone have anything for this? Councilman Ricks.
Thank you, President. I'd just like to congratulate you on the first meeting behind the big desk. Congratulate all of the four new members joining us this evening, and also congratulating all of us, including myself, I suppose, self-congratulating all of us returning members as well. Looking forward to the next 2 years. Thank you.
Anyone else have anything? Seeing none, we move on to executive communications. First, we have acceptance of the minutes from the council meeting held on December 16th, 2024. Bear in mind, new members, you'll have to abstain from this one. So do we have a motion to accept those minutes? Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? All abstaining? So this would be, so Councilman Napa, Councilman Muto, Councilman Kirby, and Councilman DeLuise all abstain. Next we have announcement of appointments. We have Patuxent River Authority, Ms. Ashley Gilchrist. I apologize, by the way, if I'm butchering any names. And we have Tree Warden Carlos Pinheiro. All right, and now we'll go back to committee. We have public safety next, if I'm not mistaken. So public safety can now convene.
Good evening, the Committee on Public Safety for January 13th, 2025 at 7:11.
Accept the meetings.
Mr. Chairman, regarding the minutes, if the committee would have the returning members make the motion second, and the recommendation would be for the new members to abstain from this vote on the two sets of minutes.
Thank you, Council Solicitor. Through the chair, if I may. Yes. Thank you, Chair. I believe that I am the only returning member on the Public Safety Committee, as Councilman Lattiser was not previously on this committee, and Councilman Muto and Kirby are newly elected. Therefore, would it be appropriate for me to move for unanimous consent? Move unanimous consent. Are there any objections to adopting the minutes of December 2nd, 2024? Hearing no objection, so adopted.
Thank you. Councilman, that was inclusive of both sets of minutes under one motion? Or would you like to make a second?
Correct.
Okay.
To clarify, both the set of minutes for the Public Safety Committee agenda, as well as the minutes for the Public Safety Claims Docket, both dated December 2nd, 2024. If anyone objects to that clarification, please speak now or forever hold your peace. Hearing none, so clarified. And both sets accepted. Thank you.
Help me out here, though. I have the other ones, but traffic studies, this is a... PCR 7-25, mm-hmm. Resolution to Rails Public Claims, and then we'll move to that document.
For traffic studies or claims?
We'll do the claims first.
Claims. Is it move to?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to move to PCR 7-25, resolution relative to claims. Do I hear a motion?
Dive right into it.
Okay. Okay. First item is PCR 7-25, consent calendar claims for January 13th, 2025. First claimant is Deborah Swanholm at 24 Indian Hill Road, Warwick, Rhode Island. Her claim is for the amount of $766.12. Do we move? Oh, any questions on the committee?
And ask if she is present.
Okay. Is Deborah present? No. Okay. Any questions from the committee? Any questions from the council? Any questions from the public? Any questions from the public? Any questions from the public? Hearing none.
Pardon me, Chairman. I just need one moment to make sure to have this particular item pulled up. I thought that I had it already pulled up on the laptop, but it looks like I might have closed out that tab. So,
their recommendations and such.
Okay.
Chairman, if I may. Thank you. So I previously reviewed this item. I'm sure all members of the committee have, but for the public disclosure, this item relates to a city plow hitting a mailbox. The department has accepted liability for destroying that particular mailbox. The invoice amount is $766.12. It appears that there were some other estimates, two of which were lower than the $766.12. So this is always something where, unlike pothole claims, where we have a different particular procedure with the requirement of multiple estimates, these types of damage claims, additional estimates are not necessarily strictly required. Obviously, different companies provide different products, and it appears that some of these items, some of these estimates, did not necessarily include the delivery and installation. So it is one of these situations where we have some discretion in terms of seeking additional information, or given that the department has made the recommendation for approval of the invoice amount, and looking at the circumstances here, it is something where we as a committee would be within our discretion to award that actual invoice amount. So it would be appropriate, of course, also for any members of the committee who believe that that an award of an amount other than the actual invoice can certainly raise any concerns as to that difference.
With that, any questions from the committee?
No.
Any questions from the council? Any questions from the public?
Thank you.
Richard Langseth, Budlong Farm. I have a question. Was this mailbox in the city street, or was it on people's property?
Police.
The reason why I ask is $700 for a mailbox is quite a lot. I know I have a mailbox, and sometimes it gets knocked over, and it probably cost me $50 or something like that. $700 for replacing a mailbox that's in the public street is extraordinary. If the city plow went on the person's property and destroyed the mailbox, well, I'm more sympathetic. But when you put a mailbox in the city street, you don't put a $700 mailbox on somebody else's property, which happens to be the city street. We're trying to reduce the cost of government here, and I just don't understand why we're paying $700 for a mailbox that's probably in the city street. And then the interlocal trust, where do they come? You know, okay, I understand a pothole. The interlocal trust is not going to cover a pothole, but when the city plow hits private property, I would assume that it would go to the insurance company. Why is the city paying $700 for a mailbox? And I guess that's my comment.
Through the chair, if I may?
Yes, please.
Thank you, Chair. So there are some different circumstances in this one. Obviously, different mailboxes have different value. I certainly don't have a $700 mailbox on my house, but I also don't have the requirement of having a mailbox that is at the street. Many houses that have been built more recently do have a requirement where they're required to have that freestanding mailbox right there next to the street. It's not something that they necessarily chose for themselves. It's more of a more recent post office requirement. There is a letter that accompanies this to explain why this particular mailbox was being ordered and why they were requesting reimbursement for this. And of course, keeping in mind that they had no guarantee that we on the city council would necessarily approve this particular item, of course. So part of the explanation in the letter here is that the original mailbox was ornamental cast iron. They were unable to find a similar cast iron mailbox and post it unless it was custom made, which would have been even more expensive, it appears. So instead, they opted to purchase a solid vinyl mail post with a, I'm quoting here, a strong aluminum box. And they purchased that from Walpole Outdoors. The receipt was included. There were some other estimates as well. All of them were a bit expensive, of course. I can say that based on reviewing these types of claims before, taking a look at the different prices, it is pricey, but as a matter of a legal standard, where the city was negligent, the city has a responsibility to make the claimant whole. It's not necessarily something where the city is deciding which mailbox a person should have, but rather taking a look at what mailbox did the person have, what was the damage that that person sustained, and is what this person is asking for compensation, is that something that is effectively making the person whole, or is it something that is, you know, a person trying to replace a Kia with a Cadillac, so to speak? Not to insult Kias, but one car is probably going to be more expensive than the other. So let's see. So it is a bit of a different standard from the standard that we use when the city council takes a look at purchases that it's making of its own volition for itself. I do certainly understand the concern, and I would certainly agree that this committee does have an obligation to look carefully at each and every claim and make sure that we're upholding the relevant standards. And at the same time, of course, looking at each individual situation on its own merits. And I'd like to thank you for coming up and sharing the comments, because I'm sure that a lot of people have the same questions, and it is helpful to have these kinds of discussions, and I really do appreciate public input on these issues.
Okay. Well, yeah, I just want to make sure that we understand when you put property in the city street and it gets struck by something, you're at risk. I mean, a sane person wouldn't put a wrought iron mailbox in a city street and then expect the city to compensate them when you can just, you know, do it. What we have mailboxes. I mean, you know, okay, then they get hit. And so we don't put out expensive mailboxes. Thank you.
Constable Ladderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would guess that the majority of the mailboxes we have probably on city property, due to the fact that the city does own typically 2-3 feet in from the street. But with that said, I can't support this number of $766.12, because the mailbox for $499 to me looks very similar to what I'm assuming is the existing mailbox And neither of, or none of these estimates include labor. None of them include labor. At first, reading through this, even up until a few minutes ago, when I reread it, I assumed or thought I saw labor in here of included in the $766, and it's not that I see. So with that said, I think the $499 reimbursement is fair and equitable to what they had. So I would not, I would not be able to support $766.12.
Thank you. Any other thoughts or comments?
I would just briefly want to double check with the City Council solicitor on this. And I suppose before deferring to the City Council solicitor for clarification, I will just point out for members of the public that the claimant had a free choice as to the various estimates that she chose to submit. She chose three estimates, and the lowest of those three was for that lower amount of the $499.99. City Council solicitor? Let's see. So to clarify on the record, this is a situation where the City Council committee has a certain level of discretion in subjectively, I suppose, looking at the various estimates and determining whether one of the estimates is sufficiently similar to the product that the claimant is seeking to replace.
Sure. So let me step back, especially with some new folks here. The process that we're going through at this moment is partially judge and jury in sorts. And what we have is a recommendation from the department that indicates that the facts essentially check out and that the city conducted itself in a manner that harmed or injured a constituent. And in this case, you know, what this panel is vetting is whether did the city breach a duty that was the cause of the damages before us? And if so, we want to ensure that they get fair compensation for such damages. To answer Mr. Langston's question from earlier, the trust covers us on issues of $2,500 or more. So in between, we're essentially acting as a small claims type board to avoid small claims court for the constituents to make it easier for them to be compensated for injuries that they incur. The committee, but really the council as a whole, is making has the authority to make a decision as to what is the appropriate level that the body finds is appropriate in this instance. Potholes is discussed as a separate issue because there are state laws shielding the liability cap. But in this instance, the short answer to Councilman Rex's question is, yes, the body has the discretion to make a recommendation. I will remind that this committee is making a recommendation to the full council for their decision.
Council President.
So just a few points of note. Even the invoice presented doesn't include labor. They ended up installing it themselves. And generally speaking, to make someone whole would normally, in fact, include labor, given that otherwise they would just have a mailbox that's not installed. And so while we do have carte blanche to award a different amount than what's recommended by DPW or requested by the claimant, bear in mind the claimant also is well within their rights to, in response to whatever we offer them, say no and sue. And if we're not making them whole, arguably they do in fact have sufficient grounds to pursue legal action against us. Part of the whole purpose of this claims process is to, rather than open ourselves up to litigation, do quite the opposite. Prevent it altogether while addressing a wrong that the city committed. So just keep that in mind and do what you will.
Councilman Lattice.
Thank you, Chairman. With all due respect to the Council President, this claimant was not seeking labor. If they were seeking labor in addition to the cost of the mailbox, I would consider that. This claimant simply submitted three invoices seeking recovery for something, and this something happens to be the most expensive mailbox that there is. So with all due respect, I'm not here to do the process or guide people through the process. I'm here to make a decision on the information that's been submitted to us for consideration. So I stand by my position as far as the number of $499, because this claimant never mentioned, requested, or suggested labor. Sorry, never mentioned, suggested, or requested labor.
Actually, any other questions? Any other questions from the council?
Just have a comment to caveat off of the president. In consideration of the alternative, as the president stated, they are within their right to reject the offer and file suit against the city, in which they would be entitled to recoup council fees, filing fees, and costs. So we're talking a difference of $267.12. Likely, the award at a small claims court would exceed the $766.12 that they are requesting. So my suggestion to the committee is to let's not bite our nose to spite our face. We are protecting the interests of a taxpayer and a constituent on top of being long-sighted here for what's in the best interest of the city. And I know it may not be the smallest amount that's proposed, but it would likely be a reasonable compromise to settle this matter at $766.12 and be done with it, rather than expose the city to potential further liability where they may be awarded the $999 mailbox plus labor plus costs and fees. So I would urge the committee to weigh that out when you make your decision.
Councilman Lyons.
I would caution the committee on setting a precedence with this, where you're awarding something that technically doesn't exist. The labor cost is not part of this. It was never requested. I would be cautious on creating a precedence with these type of claims going forward.
Just as a point of information, no one is suggesting labor be paid for. No one has suggested it. The claim and the recommendation from DPW is for a specific amount. The recommendations mentioned by several council people, including myself, was for that amount based on the request made, which again does not include labor. That was simply pointed out as another item often factored in. Also, bear in mind, as far as precedent is concerned, this exact conversation has occurred before on other claims, and all these things taken into account, you all should, as usual, consider those factors and vote accordingly.
Councilman.
I'll make a motion to approve the amount as recommended by the department, $766.12.
Do I have a second?
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
You.
Aye.
No.
Ayes have it.
3-1.
Approved.
And Chair, if I may, just briefly, my comments, and I assume everyone else's comments, isn't to suggest one council person's recommendation is right or one person's is wrong. We all have very different backgrounds and very different perspectives as a result. So please, at least for the public's sake and for the new council members, don't take what you're seeing here to be anything other than what should be happening. Meaningful debate, careful consideration of the factors. That's all.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I would just note for the record that Councilman Lattiser requests that this item be voted separately from the consent calendar. It's the lone item on this, so when it comes before the floor, it will be treated as similarly to the items that were removed from the bid package. It'll be voted separately at that later time, but that concludes what you need to do on this piece of the agenda.
Next item under consideration is PCR-2-25, resolution relative to traffic studies. The Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. Yes, this is the standard resolution that we have every new term. This basically allows us on the City Council to request a traffic study from the police department without having to separately docket every single request at a council meeting, but instead we're able to just put in the requests between council meetings, which certainly helps with efficiency. That's all my comments for the moment.
Any comments? Any comments from the council? Any comments from the public?
Yeah, Rob Cody, Ward 7. Hey, just as a point of order, Mr. Langs have spoke about that issue. And Jeremy, you spoke, and then you never went and asked if the general public had any other questions. The council took it over and you took a vote. So you were supposed to say, does anyone else have any comments from the general public? So the comment that I would make is we just spent more time on a couple hundred bucks than we did on a $26 million fire contract. That's the stuff that pisses us off. All right. When someone from the general public has a couple of bucks, we beat the hell out of it. But we spent more time on a mailbox than we did on any other expenditure that went before the city tonight of millions of dollars. That's wrong. Thank you.
And a brief point of order question to the City Council solicitor. Is it required if council members discuss a matter after the public has had an opportunity to speak, is it legally required for us to open public comment up once again?
The gentleman's comments are incorporated as part of this entirety of this committee's hearing attributable to those statements. So you're welcome to proceed. We would ask that as when questions of anyone from the public are made, we would, you know, it makes it easier for the chairperson if everyone does come forward at that time, unless it's a very lengthy one, in which case, as one person moves out, and the next person, would, if they would respectfully step in at that time, it would help the flow of the meeting.
Thank you.
So do I have a motion for PCR 2-26?
Move 25. Favorable action.
Do I hear a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Ayes have it, 4-0. Next item, PCR-116-24, Christopher AC claim. Since these were previously docketed, I'd like to ask the city clerk if there was any additional information provided.
The information wouldn't have been provided to me. You should.
I have it right here. So,
Chairman Foley. Mr. Muir, I'm sorry. I couldn't hear the name. Which claim are you talking about right now?
We are looking at Christopher Ise, I-S-E.
All right, Christopher. Yes, Christopher did provide a screenshot of his voicemail that he sent to the city. I forwarded that on to our liaison who forwarded it on. So I don't know where it is in the reevaluation stage. That's my position. So based on what I saw, I believed he did reach out to the city ahead of time to notify him that that tree needed to be tended to. And after that notification is when the tree came down. So that's the information I have. And here's the chief of staff.
Good evening, Bill Facenti, Chief Staff. I saw the screenshot that was forwarded. It's a voice transcription. The Public Works Director still stands by the denial of the claim.
Councilman.
Chief, were there any photos submitted showing damage to, this is the shed thing, right?
No, this is a car.
Oh, the car. Okay. All right, I'm all set, yeah.
Councilman.
Thank you. I think, well, sometimes it helps to just go back to basics here with these types of claims. And so the basics are that any property owner has an obligation to make sure that there aren't dangerous conditions on their property to inspect for those dangerous conditions. And that might include to take a look at trees that you own or control and make sure that they're not dead or dying and risk of some large branches falling and damaging something or hurting somebody. So here, in addition to above and beyond the tree, apparently this particular individual was concerned about that tree. We might not have necessarily a lot of, say, pictures from well in advance of this particular incident, but we do have conditions that were enough for him to make a phone call. It's been my experience that the city, I hate to say it, but the city really needs to do a better job of attending to a lot of these trees and making sure that we're putting in the proper resources to make sure that these kinds of situations don't happen. When someone goes ahead and makes that phone call in advance, I think that that person has probably done more than the vast majority of people who walk or drive by and don't say anything and don't even bother putting the city on notice. So here we have some evidence that the city was put on notice. The claimant has requested reimbursement in the amount of $700, but the claimant also had the free choice of looking at various estimates, providing those different estimates. And I see that the lowest of the three estimates is $400. So I would think that that amount would be appropriate, but I'm keeping an open mind for discussion with the council, and I'm not sure if, I don't believe that the claimant is present this evening, but I would leave that to the chair to ask.
Is Christopher here? Christopher Ison?
Okay.
Any other? Any questions from the council? Are there any questions from the public? Any questions from the public? Any questions from the public?
Move favorable action in the amount of $400.
A second.
Here a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Nay. Motion passes. Next item up is PCR 117-24. Name is Quayo Liu. Is Quayo Liu here? The claim is for city tree branches that fell on the shed, damaged it, and the contents inside. The claimant is requesting a reimbursement of $2,236.60. This was carried over from last year. Councilman Foley.
For clarification, that the young lady, Quay Liu, did show up at the previous meeting. She testified that she had reached out to the city, as we did with the previous claim. We asked her for proof. I also reached out. She sent me something which was redundant. Mm-hmm. I asked her for clarification, A. B, council liaison reached out to the city because she said she had submitted the form online. We found no evidence of that in our records, and I never received a response to the email that I sent her directly asking for the clarification we needed. So that's where we are today.
Councilman.
So, Mr. Chairman, at that meeting, what we had requested photographs to prove or to show the damage to the shed, the damage to the snow blowers, the whatever, you know, the other items were in that shed. And as Councilman Foley said, you know, those haven't come to be. So my position is, you know, not to support this. Thank you.
Questions from the council? Questions from the public? Questions from the public?
Ann Sheridan, Ward 9. In these issues, it seems to me that it's a stretch for a taxpayer to go to the city and ask for reimbursement for something. And months ago, I had the same comment I brought up. I think that in good faith, these should be honored. I mean, I don't think that the majority of people are out to screw the city because they, you know, they've got a claim that a tree came down on there. I mean, I just think it's a nice thing. We spend money. We just spent $127,000 for two pickup trucks that people question necessity for. And to give somebody $500, $1,000, I mean, to me, anything that's under $1,000 should be just passed off. I think we can well afford it and be charitable and generous to our taxpayers. Thank you.
Thank you for the comment. Any other comments?
Everybody has a phone that they can take pictures with. If this person was to come forward with some pictures, that would be great. Otherwise, no.
Thank you for a comment.
Richard Langseth, Budlong Farm. This was a city tree, and it fell on a person's property. Is that what's being claimed? I would think that she has the responsibility to come and, I mean, $2,000 is enough to get most people out of bed. And, you know, I without her here, it's hard to fathom why the city would pay that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Okay. Do you have a motion?
Make a motion for unfavorable action.
Is there a second? We've got a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Ayes have it, 4-0. Okay, last item on our agenda is PCR 118-24, John Ranieri. Just pull up that claim. This claim is John Ranieri hit a pothole on Love Lane, causing damage to tire and alignment. He is looking for reimbursement of $138.67 plus tax, which includes the alignment and balancing, which when you add it all together, the total claim amount is $290.67. Any questions from the committee?
So I'm not sure if Chairman Foley received any additional information on this item.
If I may, yes, we did, but not from the claimant. We afterwards figured out where they came up with that dollar amount, thanks to Councilman Lattiser. And if we had been able to figure it out earlier in the evening that night, we would have approved that. I'm just, the committee can do what it wants, but the numbers do add up. The way it was written on the front of the claim form was a little incongruous, and then we figured it out. We went back and looked. So the numbers do match. The recommendation was to approve. We had held it, so that's the way we did it.
Thank you for that update. Any other questions from the committee? Any other questions from the council? Councilman Gebco.
No objection to moving this forward. I'm aware of the pothole that that the driver the claimant references. It had been reported to the city, so I think this is all in good order. Thank you.
Any other questions from the council? Any comments from the public? Any comments from the public?
Move favorable action in the amount of $290.67.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. That motion to adjourn?
Motion made.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. We are adjourned. Public safety is adjourned at 7:55.
Intergovernmental is now ripe to convene.
Hey, we're working on it.
It is now ripe for intergovernmental to convene. You know what I mean.
You did well. There were some tricky ones, especially.
Didn't have the mic on.
I'm sorry.
Time is now 7:56, and the Intergovernmental and Appointments Committee comes to order. First up, we have acceptance of the minutes from the December 16th meeting, and as we've done in the past committees, we've got interjection.
Nope, unanimous consent would be appropriate here, and for the new members to abstain.
All right, so I'm looking for a motion to approve the minutes. I'll make a motion to approve the minutes. No motion. Unanimous. Does anyone have any objection to approving the minutes? Hearing none, minutes are passed. Okay, one item of business, PCR 125. Amy? PCR 125, resolution adopting the rules of the Warwick City Council for 2025-2026. I believe at this point everyone has received a copy of the rules. A red line was sent out to the committee, to the entire council, as well as being published. Sorry. And I will turn it over, Council President.
Howdy. First, there's a misconception regarding one aspect of the proposed changes. I saw online that it was thought that we were changing when and how public comment would be occurring. So that's not part of these proposed changes. And I confirmed with the City Council solicitor that that's not part of them. Granted, there were a lot of cleanup regarding redundant or no longer relevant language that was removed. So I don't blame anyone for misunderstanding it, because it's very easy to do. That's partially why we wanted to get rid of a lot of this old language, because it added needless confusion. And the other disclaimer I'd like to point out, for those who may want additional changes, please note that at the end of the night, I'm going to docket another resolution to further amend these. So don't think that this is your one chance to get changes done. I've already been keeping up a running tally of the other stuff we want to do. This one's just meant to get done the initial ones, like the size of the committee, the number of committees, and what those committees are. Some clarifications just to make it obvious what happens if we get a 2-2 vote in committee. And also the ability for committee members or chairs to be removed and moved as needed, because prior to this, things were happening that shouldn't be happening, let's just say. This will help resolve that. And I will have an amendment for you, the chair, at your leisure regarding Rule 5 to change the standard from 2/3 vote to simply a majority vote. Let me see if I got all the main points here. I believe that's Cliff Notes version of things, but I'm happy to address any questions that may arise.
Thank you. Okay, so with that as introduction, what I'd like to do here, if there are folks who have thoughts, questions, concerns, or amendments, given our process is any amendment that comes up here has to be approved here and then go back out to the floor, and then we do the same thing again. So it would be ideal in my mind. If we have any discussion we need to, folks can raise any questions, concerns, or proposed amendments. I'd like to keep them just in that form in the committee here. We'll take comments, obviously, from the public, from members of the committee and the council. And if there are any substantive amendments that folks are on board with, that'll give us a little bit of time to get those together to make sure that everyone can review them, and then we'll have them in the full council meeting. Okay. So with that, members of the committee, do you have any thoughts, questions, comments on the rules as proposed?
Mr. Chairman, if I may, just a comment as to expanding the committees and maybe to enlighten the public. Expanding the committees to four, I think, is an excellent move. It allows us to have more productive conversation without being in violation of the Open Meetings Act, whereby two of us can discuss committee pertinent information without creating a quorum. And I think that's a very important and productive use of our time. So that we can move things a little bit faster and have some productive conversation coming into council meetings and committee meetings moving forward. So I fully support that amendment to the rules. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything? Yeah, I think Councilman Knapp, your point's well taken. We have also in the past been subject to somewhat frivolous complaints of, you know, someone sees two of us, you know, at cellos and assumes the worst. So this sort of gets us out of that potential jeopardy when we know that folks are abiding by the rules. So any members of the council have Councilman Ricks?
I would agree that four-member committees make a lot of sense in this context. I feel like the Open Meetings Act, this particular provision, when it comes to applying these rules to committees in particular, was probably written more with full bodies in mind, whether it's the full nine-member city council or perhaps even General Assembly committees that are, well, quite sizable. And so what winds up having the effect of when you have a three-member committee, and I experienced being on three-member committees for 8 years, is that it's basically functioning as a sort of a gag rule that's often preventing me from speaking ahead of time, ahead of the meeting, with precisely one person who I want to speak with on a particular topic. But I could not speak with a particular person on a particular topic, and I would avoid doing that. And oftentimes, as a result, I would not go into the meeting with the more fully fleshed out thought process that would have really just been beneficial for everybody involved. But I obviously am very careful to follow the laws on the books. So I think that, yeah, four-member committees do make a lot of sense. And I would also just add that the Warwick City Council committees function very differently than they do up at the General Assembly. So our committees, there are great abilities for the sponsor or for the sponsor, for example, to pull a bill out of committee for a full vote by the city council as a whole. So with all due respect, obviously, to every single committee, and the committees do, they do perform a very important work in being the point people on every single topic that comes before this city council as a whole. It's also something to keep in mind that having two members of a four-member committee speak to each other about an item that's coming before the committee is not the smoky back room that people fear. That's all.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Lattiser.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure if I understood you in the beginning. Were you suggesting that you were going to move this to the floor for discussion as opposed to discussing it in committee?
We can discuss it in committee. Okay. You're free to discuss any potential amendments. I'd like to just move this to the floor without a recommendation, okay, where amendments can be made on the floor. Right, so you're free to, if you said, hey, we want to paint the chamber blue, you're welcome to talk about that now. We can get feedback on it, but we'll move it in
the meeting. I thought that you had said in the interest of, you know, saving time and not being redundant, that you were going to move it to the floor, but you're taking comments in committee. Okay. So let me just go to one of the easy ones on page 2 of the red line version, line, well, and now it's different. Hold on. I'll hold that one for the time being. Initially, my objection to these changes, or one of these changes, was with Rule 5. And I have, and I still consider this having the possibility, and I'm not suggesting anything from any current serving people, but things change. Council members change. We had 4 changes just this year alone. Council presidents change, solicitors change, et cetera. And I think that particularly where it was a 2/3 vote of the council, that certainly opened the door for the possibility of politics to weigh in on this. We've seen it from local government all the way up to Washington. When someone doesn't do what someone likes, or someone doesn't vote the way someone wants the vote to go, or just happens to rub the grain the wrong way, or happens to take over a particular body, they get removed. And that's politics. And that's my concern, especially where we had the 2/3 rule here, which that to me made it even more concerning. So picture this. You have one member of any committee, doesn't matter what the position is, and you know, they happen to be bucking heads and taking avenue of things that maybe somebody doesn't like. And for that reason, you're brought before the city council to be removed. That leaves an avenue of politics to take over. To have this in place for a bona fide transfer of one position to another, or someone doesn't want to serve on that committee, it's more involved, it's more time consuming than I anticipated, I don't have the time for this, I don't think it's a good fit, it's, you know, more than I want to handle. This would provide a mechanism for that transfer. Although years ago, I just resigned from a committee, and that was that. Actually, I think it was 2 committees. So that's my concern with that. I think that, you know, this definitely opens the door for politics to intertwine with this. The majority vote, it makes it a tad better. But by the same token, if the council president, 2 council presidents down the road, isn't doing such a great job, if this is going to sit in place for the council president, then I feel the members of the city council should have that same avenue of a simple majority to remove the council president or the pro tem. To me, that speaks to fairness and equity. To just have this one way, I don't think it's so fair. So that's my feelings on it. I'll hold my opportunity to offer a formal amendment once I hear from other members of the city council and from members of the public on that item. And I'll yield because I need to find it. It's just a simple typo. It's not a big deal, but yeah, it's to clean it up. So I'll yield for other people to weigh in.
Thank you, Councilman. Yeah, sure. And obviously, we are going to hear from the public here shortly. I wanted to give everyone kind of a chance to add anything. Does anyone who hasn't spoken yet have anything else to add? I don't see anything. Councilman Nappy, you indicated you wanted to add something.
If I could, thank you, Chairman. Councilman Lattice, I just wanted to respond to one thing that you had said. You and I had some productive conversations about these amendments, and appreciate you taking the time about that with me. And I believe, and I would defer to the solicitor, but I believe, as we discussed, change in council president would be a charter issue, because I believe council presidency is authorized via the charter, and I would defer to the solicitor to expound upon that.
That's correct, Councilman. The charter provision 2.5 makes clear that the council president is elected for the term.
I'm sorry, I couldn't understand you.
As outlined in the city charter, section 2-5, the elected president serves for the full term of the, in this case, two-year cycle, per the charter.
And the charter does not speak to the full term of the council members?
No.
Interesting.
I mean, they serve in the body for the 2 years, but how it's organized is an executive function that is deferred to how we
council
organize.
Council president.